Dear friends in Jesus Christ, the topic today is prayer. What is prayer? Speaking to God with our words and even with our thoughts. I'm guessing that all of us pray. I think there are many people that even choose to not gather in a church and they pray. What's important, though, is that we are persistent in our prayers. That is our focus for today. What does it mean to be persistent? Here's a definition. To be persistent is continuing firmly or stubbornly in a course of action despite difficulty or opposition. Now, being in the Lutheran church is not a requirement, but a lot of times people in a Lutheran church, they have some connection to Germany, maybe a little bit of German blood flowing in their veins. And is it somewhat true that at least in certain parts of Germany, they're known for their stubbornness? So maybe persistence will be easier for some of us as Lutherans, not quite sure on that. But anyway, though, yeah, continuing firmly or stubbornly in a course of action despite difficulty or opposition. It's typical to pray for a while and give up, but I hope I can give you some encouragement today on being persistent, being firm, being stubborn. Our text today is found in Luke chapter 11. So we are going to get to the topic of persistence, but before we do that, though, we're going to touch on two other things that are connected to the topic of prayer, and then we'll get to persistence. First of all, in our reading today, we come to the reason for the Lord's Prayer. The Bible says, picking up in verse 1, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.'" What's going on there? Let's look at some of the key phrases. First of all, Jesus was praying. How was he praying? Probably he was praying out loud. That disciple heard him praying out loud. Then right after he finished praying, that's when he asked the question. Also, too, here, it talks about one of his disciples. Who are we talking about? Well, there's a lot that could be said here, but on one of his disciples, we believe it's certainly not one of the 12, because what Jesus is going to share is an abbreviated version of the Lord's Prayer, and the 12, they would have all heard the full version from Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. So it's not one of the 12. There's a good possibility it would be one of the 70. Keep in mind, it wasn't just the 12 who were with Jesus, but we have the 70 who were mentioned in the earlier chapter here in Luke, in chapter 10, and Jesus appointed 70 of his disciples, and they went out two by two, so there were 35 groups of men, and they went out two by two to the towns and villages and cities ahead of where Jesus was traveling in order to kind of get things ready, if you will, for him to come. Likely one of those men. Also, too, it's almost for certain that this particular man was a disciple of John the Baptizer. So when John was finally put to death, what happened to his disciples? Probably some of them, and very possibly all of them, became disciples of Jesus. That would be a very natural thing. John is pointing people to Jesus. Once John is taken out and goes to heaven, then it will be very natural for them to all become disciples of Jesus. Also, too, this disciple said, "as John taught his disciples." So what we understand by that is John, keep in mind, he was a rabbi, he was a teacher, so he had disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a student, or we could say a learner or a follower. So John had such people, so he was teaching them. And apparently John taught his particular disciples at least one particular prayer in order to connect those disciples to John. Now this disciple is saying, "Jesus, teach us as your disciples, why don't you teach us a particular prayer that will connect us to you?" So I want you to think about whenever you pray the Lord's Prayer, understand that is a very special prayer that Jesus has given to all of his disciples. Now, oftentimes we say we are Christians, but let's understand, though, a Christian and a disciple is the same thing. So we are students of Jesus. We learn from Jesus. We want to understand what he taught. We want to apply that in our lives. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So such things are very important. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that is showing a definite connection between us and our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to the prayer itself, we have the shorter version here. So again, the full version over in Matthew chapter 6. Here we have the shorter version. The Bible says, Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." So you might have noticed some words are a little bit different, some words are missing. Let's think about the freedom that we have with the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus gave the full version in Matthew, but now he's giving an abbreviated version. What is he telling us? He's telling us you don't need to use the prayer exactly as I have given. There is freedom here. So we have the option to use the Matthew version, which is generally what we use here at Bethlehem. We could also say for a period of time, hey, let's go ahead and use the Luke version. Or what could we do? We could say, I'm going to state a single petition, and then off the top of my head, I'm going to expand on that petition, then I'll come to the next petition, and so on. Like, I could say my prayers tonight, and I could say, "Our Father who art in heaven." Dear Father, as I think about that phrase, this is so awesome that you are the designer of the universe, and yet Jesus has told me, you are my Father, and if you are my Father, that must mean I'm your child. This is so amazing that I have this relationship with you. Thank you, I can come to you in prayer, and help me as I pray. Help me to honor you with my life. You know, we could pray something like that, and then we go on to the next petition, we expand on it, and so on. That would be a great way to pray the Lord's Prayer. So there's all these different options when it comes to the prayer. And then we can think about the general order of the prayer. So we basically have the same order here as we have in the full version. So think about the steps here real quick. We identify God as Father. If we think about God being the Almighty God, holy in every way, that should make us tremble and be scared to death. But knowing that God is our Father, even our merciful Father, wow, that endears us to come to him and talk to him and be open with him. So we address him as Father, and then we say something about one of his major important characteristics. Holy is your name. Or we could identify many other things as well. God, you are a God of great love. You are merciful. You are kind. We could go on and on with different things about God. And then we focus on the kingdom of God. Your kingdom come. The kingdom of God is so important. The only way to be a member of God's kingdom is through our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to understand nothing is more important for any of us in our lives. Now, right now, you might be thinking about something, and it might seem really important, but think about it like this, though. Imagine you're about ready to breathe your final breath here on earth. And after you breathe that one breath, then your body will die. Right at that moment, is anything going to matter other than being in a right relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing will matter at all. God wants us to have that in order now and always, and once that is in order, then we're ready to live our lives. I read this years ago, somebody said the phrase, "We are not really ready to live until we are ready to die. So it's important, like, get that part in order. Oh, we got that all figured out. Yes, we know we are miserable sinners, but we know who Jesus is. We know what he has done for us. We know we have that God-given relationship with him. Oh, now I'm ready to die. Now I have the freedom to be able to live with peace and joy and all these wonderful things. Most people in the world probably are not ready to die, so they're living kind of day by day, ignoring death, or they're fearful of death, and all these kinds of things. God wants us to have that in order, then we have peace, then we can live with joy. Also, too, we come finally then to our own physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And then after that, we come to the topic of forgiveness. So it is just so super vital that we are always receiving God's forgiveness. How does God's forgiveness continue to come? As we continue to have that God-given relationship with Jesus. And then we could almost say of equal importance then is us continuing to extend forgiveness to all who sin against us, no matter how much they sin against us, no matter how strongly they sin against us. God is calling us to fully forgive them, and even to forgive them whether they are sorry or not. God extends forgiveness to the whole world, whether they are sorry or not. And then some of those people, where their forgiveness is being extended, by the grace of God, they receive it. So we are called to extend the forgiveness, whether they are sorry or not. Why do we do that? We do that not because of them. We do that because we have received the forgiveness of God. That is the reason why we do that. And then finally, at the end here, lead us not into temptation. We're saying, dear Father in heaven, we live in a world filled with landmines, if you will, landmines of sin. So lead us in a way that we are not tempted, because we know that when the temptation comes, God does promise to provide a way of escape when the temptation comes. But we also know, though, that oftentimes we don't take that way of temptation. So it's better if we're not even led in a way that we will encounter temptation, because when it comes, oftentimes sin follows, and that is never good. Okay, enough on all of that. Let's get to the topic of persistence then. So that's our next topic here. We go back to the text. We're in verse 5, and this is what the Bible says. Then Jesus said to them, talking now to his disciples, he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread, if you will. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, you have to imagine the situation with someone having absolutely no food at all in the house. Now, that's been common for many people over the centuries, but think about us, so how much we are blessed. I would be almost certain that there are none of us who ever had that situation where our refrigerator was completely empty, every cupboard was completely empty, we did not have anything to eat at all in our house. We are so blessed that we have such an abundance. What can happen, though, sometimes we have such an abundance that we forget about God. Actually, if we had less, we would think about God more. Now, should we pray for less? I don't want to do that, but at the same time, I want to pray that I'm like in tune with God, grateful to God for what he's given, and try to use it in a way that would be pleasing to him. Okay, let's pick back up with the story. So from inside, the neighbor answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. And then Jesus tells how this works here. He goes on and says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So you can see how persistence is super important. Well, let me try to retell the story a little bit. See, it's hard for us to imagine because we are just blessed with so much food. But imagine for yourself, though. Let's say it's a beautiful summer evening, so you have your windows open, it's midnight, you're in bed, you, for some reason, you have absolutely no food at all in your house, there are no grocery stores or restaurants open in your area, and a close friend has just arrived at your door. That friend has been on a very long journey. That friend has not eaten for like 24 hours, and now you're in need of food for your friend. So you have no choice but to go to a next door neighbor, to go across the street. It's midnight, and you kind of feel like, boy, should I do this? But here you are, knocking on that door. And you have to knock probably over and over again because the person is just not coming to the door. And maybe finally the guy looks out the window, he sees you, and he's like, what do you want? So then he tells you finally to go away, but what do? You keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. You are being persistent. That's what God wants us to do. It's a tough thing. We want to give up, but he's saying, be persistent, be stubborn. Maybe you can relate to this one a little bit better. Have you ever gone to a store and you grabbed a cart of some kind, and as soon as you started to push it, maybe it was one of those with like a flat spot on the wheel, or maybe it was one that every time the wheel turned, there's a squeak. Squeak, squeak, squeak. And you're like, oh my goodness, how did I get the squeaky cart? Usually I'm too far away from the carts by the time I'm like, oh my goodness, I should get another cart. But then you're like, I'm that far away already. I'll just get what I want to get and get out of there. But like through the whole store, that's squeaking, squeaking, squeaking. Well, you probably have heard the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, gets the oil. So that squeak is just crying out to you, oil me, oil me, oil me. Klaus, you can relate to that. Being a car mechanic, you have different odd noises that people come to you, so you're trying to figure out what the source of this is. Something is wrong. Well, that is what is going on with persistent prayer. If something is squeaking long enough, we're going to try to figure out how to stop the squeak. If we are persistent in going to our Father in heaven, finally he's going to say, okay, enough already, I will answer your prayer. So it might sound kind of odd to say that, but God wants us to be persistent. So with the man in the story that Jesus told, going to the neighbor's house, he did not give up until he got all that he needed. So let's think about some encouragement to be persistent. Jesus went on and said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Why should we keep asking, seeking, and knocking? Jesus told us, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Not that it's important to do it, I suppose, but those words are important. How can we easily remember them? Well, a way to do that, with the word ask, we have all three words right in that word. So the three words, ask, seek, and knock, you can see the word ask right there, so it's easy to remember that order. Think about the words this way too. To ask is one step, so you're simply saying a word, you're asking. To seek means now you're on the move, now you're searching, if you will. And then to knock, that's even a more bold move yet. So God wants us to increase. Oh, I said a quick prayer to God about this particular thing. Oh, maybe I'll spend a few minutes in prayer. Oh, maybe I'll do a little bit of fasting and praying on this particular topic. That type of thing, you're basically raising the bar on the seriousness of that prayer. So when we ask, seek, and knock, God wants us to be ready to receive and find and have the way opened. Finally, we come at the end here to the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, now suppose one of you fathers, so keep in mind, he's talking to his disciples. Some of them were married, some of them had children. So now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? Certainly, the two answers would be no. A father would not do that. And then Jesus said, if you then, being evil, so referring to them as evil, that would be in contrast to our Heavenly Father, who is holy and perfectly good. So if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Why would he say the Holy Spirit? Seems kind of odd that he would bring that in here, because nothing up to this point has really had anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Think about it like this. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift, we could say, that God gives to us. Now, sometimes I'm not thinking in that way. I'm thinking that Jesus is the greatest gift. But really, is the Holy Spirit greater in a way? Think about it like this. What did I say last week? The Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. So even though Jesus has come, he has done a finished work, he has taken away the sin of the world, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot get connected to Jesus. We cannot reap the benefits of what he has done. So the Holy Spirit is certainly a super important gift that God has given. So let's understand that as believers, we all have the Holy Spirit. What a great blessing. That's what we're getting at with our welcome phrase during the season of Pentecost. Let's remember, oh, that's right. I have the third person of the Holy Trinity. He's living within me. He's empowering me. He's giving me the ability to understand the Bible and many other amazing things. God wants us to remember that. And then think about it like this. Because we have the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father will certainly give us everything else as well. Now think about a list of things, and let's say the best thing is here, and then like the least thing is here. Now if God would have given us something on the scale that was here, then we could know, okay, he gave us this, so everything under this he will give us, but we're not quite sure if he's going to give us what is above. That might be something too great. But do you get it now? Because he's given us the greatest thing up here, then we can know, certainly, he will give us everything else that is below. I believe that's exactly why we have the reference to the Holy Spirit. Let us rejoice in our great Heavenly Father. Finishing up here, some takeaways, if you will, a truth. Jesus is the one mediator between us and God. Something relevant, Bible reading and praying, they keep us close to our Father in heaven. That's a conversation. Think about a friend that you have. Imagine if you have a friend, and then a whole year went by, and the friend did not communicate with you, and you did not communicate with the friend. Now, you could still say, oh, I'm friends with that person, but it would be a pretty distant relationship because you didn't communicate. What does God want? God wants us to be like this close with him. So the way that happens is God speaks to us through his word, we speak to him through prayer, and we are in tune with God. We are close to him. That's what he wants for all of us. Then finally, something inspirational. Let's keep being persistent and be confident that in God's time and according to God's way, he will answer. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, what a huge privilege to know your Son and to speak to you through prayer. We pray that you would work in us, make us faithful in our prayers, make us persistent in our prayers, and make us even specific in the things that we ask. And then, once we have asked, may you grant us the blessing of patience as we wait on you, and grant us the blessing of peace that passeth all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.